And along with the message, hope. There is still hope for this generation. We just don't need to kick them to the curb. Because if Momo and Pawpaw, yeah, would have kicked you to the curb, you wouldn't be where you are today. Let's pray. Father, we come now and we say thank you. Thank you for this preaching moment. Thank you for keeping me and all of my mess to get to me till I can get to this point. I thank you for all your children that are here today to hear this message. And we thank you for the fruit that this word will produce. God, I claim production of the fruit. I claim production of your word. In the name of Jesus, amen. Hope. Hope. Without hope, we're lost. Hope is one of the most uplifting emotions of which man is capable of. It is the desire for some good with the expectations of obtaining it. Pleasing expectancies. The cherishing of an aim with the thought of attaining it. With it, there's always a certain amount of joy or pleasure. Ushers, you may take your seat. It is one of man's most natural passions given him by God. He didn't get it by himself. God gave it to him. God gave it to him for the purpose of making him better. Since it enables him to bear better his burdens and infuse strength when he is weak and worn. This verse that we read, Psalm 31:24, said, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart, all ye that hope in the Lord. Brothers and sisters, if you don't get anything else I said today, you got to have hope. And hope is something that you are looking to accomplish. Hope. Hope. You can't make it without it. And you have to receive the hope from God. You cannot have hope without God allowing you or giving it to you for you to possess. Hope. It is a desire that's placed within us that we told you by God. God wouldn't place anything in you that he is not going to receive the glory from. You just have to exalt him because he's worthy. Point number one, there's something we call good hope. Romans chapter 15, verse 13. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. You cannot receive this hope without receiving the Holy Spirit. I know. You say, well, Baggett, how do I know? By the lifestyle you live and by the changes that are made in your life. Hope. You have to have hope. Sometimes we think we have arrived before we get there. Just because you have difficulties getting where you need to be, don't think that you cannot arrive there, because there will be obstacles in your way. There will be things to stop you if you allow it to. But if you return to home base, return back to where you belong, and that's back to your Creator, then you can succeed and get the hope that you are looking for. In a strong church or a strong family, everyone is filled by the God of hope. This God that we serve is the God of hope. He is the God of our hope. He is the author of our hope. He is the foundation of our hope. He is the builder of our hope. And he is also the finisher of our hope. If we get this God in our lives, we will have a good hope. It says he is the author. The author is the originator of an idea. God is the author of hope. Without God, we cannot have hope. Then it said, I said, He is the builder. He takes and He builds the hope. He builds us up within each one of us. Those young people walking in here this morning, they had to build on a hope or something. I don't know how. I can't imagine them getting up here singing as young as they are, because it's difficult for me to do it now. And I'm way past where they are. But they had a hope somewhere instilled within them to walk down that aisle. And they were walking and singing at the same time. And they just made it. They had a hope. We are building a foundation of hope. And you cannot stop the building once you get started. Because if you lay the foundation and you lay the right foundation, the building will stand. The foundation around this part of this building is not as deep as the foundation on the other part of this building. I'm glad you asked. I heard you when you asked me. Because it's different in the heights of the building, the stories of the building. It takes the foundation. Yes, they may be the same height, but it's more material over there than it is over here in going on the walls. The foundation have to be deep. The foundation determines the size of the building. The Empire State Building has a foundation deeper than almost, if it's the tallest building in the United States, it has a foundation deeper than any other building. And the taller the building, the great. That foundation need to be built on the hope. Built on hope that it's going to stand. If God allows the foundation to be laid, then Jesus Christ is the foundation. And somewhere in His Word, He says, on the solid rock I stand. All other grounds are sinking in. That's the good hope that we have in this God that we serve. You have to have hope so you can make it to the next day. You have to have hope so you can survive in this life. Without hope, you can't make it. I know. You said, well, Baggett, I got to have faith. Yeah, but your faith is in the hope in the God that you have. You have to have hope. These things that we mentioned, all those things, you cannot get them apart from God. You can possess them only as He give them to you or to us. How do you know that we have hope? Well, by the trials and temptation of life. When you have trials and temptations of life, they are not to defeat you or to discourage you. On the contrary, we are to conquer them. We are to use them as stepping stones to become stronger and stronger in life. Difficulties in life helps you determine the hope that you have and in who you have your hope in. Our hope is in Jesus Christ and nobody else. When we hope in Him, then we stand on Him and everything will be all right. Yes, you got to go through something. If there were no potholes in the road, we would not need shock absorbers on our vehicles. Everything would go smooth. But you have shock absorbers on there. So when you hit that bump, that shock absorber takes the bump. And sometimes you don't even feel it. Because it absorbs it. That's the way it is when your hope is in Jesus Christ. You've hit some bad potholes in the road. And you don't even know you hit them. Because your hope is in Jesus Christ, and he absorbs all of that for you, so you won't have to do it. We can conquer the trials and temptations which are so devastating and destruction and powerful only by our hope being placed in Jesus Christ. Trials and temptations are to be conquered by our love for Jesus Christ. We do not see Christ. We have not physically seen Him, but yet we love Him and we trust Him. Because if it had not been for Him, I would not have made it. Well, the old song say, after I got over, I look back and wonder how I made it over. I made it over because my hope was in Jesus the Christ. And nothing. I know, you might have worked and made it yourself, but God was there with the hope that you could not see. He was there when you didn't even recognize that He was there. He was moving stuff out of your way that would not stop you. That's the good hope that we have. That's the prayers that were prayed for you in the yesterdays of your life when you didn't even know that there was a God. Somebody prayed for you with the good hope that Jesus Christ would save this child because He's mine and I'm asking you to. Yeah, somebody that had some hope in Christ prayed for you. The good hope is that you turn around. You do it for somebody else. You pray for somebody else's child that's going astray. You pray for somebody else's husband that won't come, a wife that won't come. You pray for them, and then God will answer your prayers for them because you are His child and He will help you. I know. Without a shadow of a doubt, somebody else prayed for me when I wasn't even coming, when I wouldn't even go that way. I know they prayed for me. I'm glad you asked. I heard you. Because of what God got me through, what came my way and didn't even bother me. I didn't even know that it was there because God moved it out of the way. God is a good God. And all we have to do is look at ourselves and be truthful to ourselves and our God. Then we will know that there is hope, that there is a God of hope, because He's looking after us when we were not even able to look after ourselves. You have to have hope, brothers and sisters, and you have to let it stay. Jesus Christ knew that we were going to need some hope. What did He do? He stepped forward and He offered Himself as a substitute and a sacrifice for all of us. Jesus Christ has taken our guilt on Himself. Trials and temptations are to be conquered by the belief in Jesus Christ. If you believe in Jesus Christ and what He has done, you have it made. This saying, you have received Him. Your bill is paid. Most of us would love to receive the contract that we signed for our homes or our cars when that last payment is made, say it paid in full. That's what Jesus Christ did for all your sins. He paid it in full. The Bible calls it a propitiation. He paid the bill for your sin whenever you could not pay it. He did that because of His love for you. That's the hope that we have. We have the hope in Jesus Christ, in His word being true. And it is true. All you got to do is just hold on. The good hope that God has for us is right there. Point number two. Just got three or four. Hope comforts us. Jeremiah chapter 17, verses 7 and 8. Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord and whose hope is in the Lord. For he shall be like a tree planted by the waters and that spreadeth out her roots by the river. And shall not see when heat cometh, but her leaves shall be green, and shall not be careful in the years of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. That's comfort. That's comfort. Some of us remember how dry and hot it was this summer when it didn't rain, when we had a drought. You go through stages just like that in your life when nothing seemed to go right. Everything seemed to go wrong. If something can go wrong, it will go wrong. That's a dry season in your life. You go to the store, spend your last dollars getting a gallon of milk. Then you walk out the store with the milk in the bag. And the bag bust and hit the ground. And the milk is gone. Don't have any more money. Don't know where you're going to get it from. But there is a comfort in knowing that God will provide if you stay close to him. You have to stay there with him so he can provide just what you need. God will bless those that have hope in the Lord, in him. He'll bless you when you have hope in him. The Lord will reward you if you have hope in him. That's a comfort that we have. The Lord will be nourished by God and firmly rooted in life like a tree planted by the river. Next time you drive by a body of water, look at the trees beside the body of water. You will see very few, if any of them, look like they're suffering, because they are planted by the river where there is water and the root goes deep in the soil. I'm glad I heard you that one. That's a good one. That's a good question. This is the river. This is the river of water right here. You plant yourself in this word. And when you plant yourself in this word, you allow your roots to penetrate. Most plants have, all of them have basically a tap root and other roots that go out to the side. But some tap roots go deeper than others. There's this weed. I don't know what it is. One of these days I'm going to get one of them brain here short of y'all so y'all won't think I'm lying to you. It's so tough on the top that if your lawnmower blade is not real sharp, it'll frizzle it up like threads because it can't cut it. But you can take and pull that root, and the root, it's in the ground. Sometimes it's that long. It's hard to get it out the ground. That's how you need to get planted in this word. You need to let your roots go deep in the word of God. How you do that? I'm glad. By studying this word of God, by putting time in this word of God, allowing God to change your life. There's a comfort in getting this word. There is the hope. There is the comfort of hope when you're in this word. You're comfortable with this word because you have hope that this word is going to do exactly what he said it would do. You will not fear when the blazing trials of life come, but instead you will conquer them all. They will be like you will be like a towering tree by the water that has green leaves, even though the heat is there and the drought is there, but your leaves will be green and you will produce fruit. Most of us have seen people going through stuff. If they would have told you what they were going through, you would have said that they were lying because they showed no outside effects of what was happening to them in their lives, because they were planted by the rivers of water, by the rivers of water, and their root went down deep in this word of God. And God will allow you to go ahead on and do it, because you are planted in him. And he says that there is a good comfort. I will give you good hope. My hope is a comfort to you. It will comfort you when things are going bad. When children misbehave, some parents just keep right on trucking like nothing is wrong, because they have the comfort knowing that God will provide just what he needs. Most things, if you are trusting in God, they too shall pass. Because you are in the word of God, and nothing lasts forever but this word. Everything else will pass away, but the word of God will not pass. He says, I will not leave you nor forsake you. And I'm trusting in his word. Maybe going through difficult times, but he said, I will not leave you nor forsake you. You need to get you some favorite verse that you like to hold on to. And that's one I hold on to no matter what happens to me. He said he would not leave me. And I'm trusting him. Yeah, my head may be bloody, my eye may be up, but it's unbowed, but you cannot get me to walk away from this God that I serve, because he promised me and he has not gone back on his promise yet. He promised us in Genesis 3:15-16 that the seed of a woman would scorn the heart of the devil, and he came through with Jesus Christ. May come through 25 or 30 years later, but he's going to be on time. He's not going to be late, but you got to know that there's comfort in this word of God. While you are going through, I dare you to just praise God.
I dare you when the devil thinks he got you down. You just throw up both hands and say, Lord, I praise you. Even if you're in Walmart, just praise God right there. Doesn't matter where you are. God knows where you are. And there is a hope that will comfort you. There is a hope that comforts all of us. Listen, listen. I told you that the roots need to grow deep in the ground. That's us going deep in the Lord. They may call you a Bible thumper or a holy roller, but that's all right. But they don't know what you're going through. They don't know where you are with God. They don't know that your walk with God is all right. And I often wonder why he always talked about walking with him. And I finally figured out why. Because when you're running, you can do very little talking and listening. But when you're walking, you can listen to him. Because when you're walking through your trouble, it's deep. When you're running, you're just trying to get out of it. But when you're walking, you're savoring it. So you will know the next time when it comes, something will let you know that you've been here before. And when you walk through it, when you get out of it, and the next time it comes, you can look at the devil and say, said, I done been here one time, and I'm not going back again. That's the hope. That's the comfort that you have, that God won't allow you to go there again, because you're going to trust in him this time. You're going to know that because of where God got you, you don't have to go back. Brothers and sisters, there's hope, but you have to be looking for it, and you have to find the hope. The fruit that you will produce will be good fruit. May not be a whole lot the first season, but plant again. Plant next season, and it will produce again. But you got to know that there is a comfort in hope. Point number three. Hope's encouragement. Zechariah chapter 9, verse 12. Turn you to the stronghold, ye prisoners of hope. Even today do I declare that I will rend double unto you. This is the Lord in this passage is talking to the children of Israel who are in bondage in Babylon. And he is telling them to return to the God of your stronghold, the God that where everything is taken care of. Return to me. They were in captivity because they had turned and walked away from God. Trouble comes your way. Yeah, As holy as we think we are, we still turn and walk away from God. Then we get in captivity in Babylon. He's telling us to return to the stronghold. You have to return to God because he is your first love. And your first love, you don't leave. You stay there with him because he has exactly what you need. The Lord calls all who are in exile. If you're in exile, you're in sin. If you're in exile, you're in sin. He called them to put their hope in him and return to the promised land. Some of them had started returning to the promised land, but some of them did not want to return to the promised land. They had gotten comfortable where they were. Don't nobody know about this. So I'm comfortable there. I can still go and do like I've always done, because nobody knows. But God is saying, return to your stronghold. Brothers and sisters, if whatever your secret sin is, it's no secret to God. He knows. He knows. And if you return to the stronghold, God is your stronghold. If you leave where you think you're comfortable, you will find out that you're not comfortable. You just think you are. You have made yourself believe that it's all right. since nobody knows, it's okay. But the one that need to know, he knows. You cannot hide sin from God. Whatever it is, he knows it. And when you return to him from being in exile, you will be received with open arms. He will not tell you about all that you've done. He'll just receive you back, just like you've never left. This God that we serve is a forgiving God. He will forgive you in a heartbeat. All you have to do is just ask him. And be sincere from your heart. But now let me tell you this. Don't try to fool God. You can fool me. When you come up here and repent and cry and get all messed up in the face and mess up everything, you can fool me. God is not watching you when you cry or when you pray. He's looking at your heart and your lifestyle. He sees the heart. And when he looks at the heart, he compares it to me. The way I make myself understand, he compares it to himself. And he's pure. He's pure. There's no sin anywhere around it. So therefore, when you come back to him from exile, that's from being in sin, he'll receive you. And you'll start all over again. He will not keep bringing it up to you. But you will start all over, but you got to come. And he calls them in that verse a prisoner of hope. And that word prisoner kind of bothered me at first when I read it. But after I start reading it and I start thinking about it, I said, well, I want to be a prisoner of hope in God's house. I want to be a prisoner of hope in God's house because I'm locked up to him. I can't get away. And since I saw that understanding of it, I asked him to put me in lockdown. Put me in lockdown in a prison of hope. Just lock me down and throw away the key and just let me stay right there. Just locked up to the hope of God, where God is going to bless me to understand his hope that he have for me. God's hope for us is that we will be encouraged in what he has us doing, that we can continue to do it to the glory of God. Don't try to satisfy yourself. When you are a prisoner, somebody else got you locked up. You are not in control of where you go, what you do, what you say, or anything. Somebody else is in charge of you. I'd love for that to be God. I'm glad you asked, because I know he's not going to mistreat me. He's going to be a good master, although I'm in prison. This will be the most joyous prison I've ever been in. Because I will be able to do the things that I know that's pleasing him. And when you please God, God will bless you beyond measures that you will not be able to understand. Hope is something that we all need. We need hope. When you have this hope of God and God have blessed you, then you can go on and do whatever he has for you to do. But when you do not have the hope, you're missing something. And most of the time, when something comes our way and we cannot get out of it lickety split, we begin to look at ourselves and say, what did I do wrong? A lot of the times you might not have done anything wrong. It's just in the will of God. Sometimes that's why I believe God has a sense of humor. Yeah, Looks at us when situations come our way that we can't hurry up and get out of. Well, God must not. I must have sinned somewhere. You don't have to have done anything wrong. You just could be time for you to go through something. Yeah, God don't wish it on you, but because sin is in this world, strange things happen. When God completed this world, there was no wrong in it, no sin. Everything was in its right place doing, but man sinned. So therefore, we have the results of sin in our lives. So things going to happen to you. But in things happening to you, God still can put that encouragement or hope within you, and you can stay there. I'm at my conclusion right now. But look at Titus chapter 1, verse 2. In hope of eternal life, which God cannot lie, promised before the world began. In hope of eternal life, which God cannot lie, promised before the world began. When God created man in the beginning of time, he made man so man would spend eternity with him. That was the beginning of time. If God said it then, he means it now. It's still in the will of God. Because he said it, our hope need to be in eternal life. We need to hope that we are going to live forever. And there's only one or two places that you can live forever. Heaven or hell. Heaven or hell. In eternity. You decide which one you spend eternity in. We know we hear stories about getting in one and leaving the other. No, those just stories are fables to make you understand. But if you decide where you spend eternity by how you live while you're here. If you do not receive the Son of God as your Lord and Savior, you are rejecting the Son of the true and the living God, and in eternity, in hell, you will spend eternity. You make that decision. But until you draw your last breath, you have a chance to get to spend eternity with God. You have to receive his Son as your Savior and commit your life to him. And then after that, if he allows you to live any longer, you need to live just like that. You need to live a life that will be pleasing to God. You learn how to live how God wants you to live by studying his word. Don't take everything that I say as gospel, but that's what I try to speak out. But you study it for yourself. What's that, 2 Timothy 2:15? Study for yourself. Study for yourself in this word of God so you will know what thus saith the Lord. So you will know how to apply this word to your life and to regulate your life. Yeah, and you're going to make mistakes. You're going to mess up. That's why there's that thing we call repentance. You repent. You ask for forgiveness of your sin, and God will forgive you of your sin. Job chapter 19, verse 26. Job knew that there was an eternal life, a life after death, he said in 19 and 26. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God. Hope. That's hope. Hope is in there because he's saying, no matter what happened to me, I know the skin worms are going to eat up this flesh, but after all of this is over, I will see my God. In the flesh of the spirit, we will see God because he promised us if we serve him, we would spend eternity with him. Every one of us got something in our lives that we are still hoping for that might have come to fruition, but you are still hoping for it. You have to have hope, and your hope need to be in this word of God. Hope is there. We need to help other people into eternity. We need to help them to get to where God can use them to the glory of his kingdom. We have to have hope because without hope, you cannot make it. You have to have hope so you can get up in the morning. You have to have hope so you can know that things are going to work out. Even when it's going bad, you have to look for hope. You have to look for it. It's like the roofers used to be to put shingles on. If you ever hit your thumb one time with that hammer, it's going to always pop up and get in the way. Hope is not like that. You have to look for hope. You have to look for it. And then sometime when you see it, it does not look like it's hope. But you have to stay there with it. This is why you need to stay with God, because he will take you through stuff that otherwise you could not get through. If some of us, if not most of all of us, were going through some stuff out in the world today and were not saved, you wouldn't make it. Because it tears you down. You just barely make it when you're serving God. How would you be without him? Stay with him because there's hope within him. There is hope. And we have to have that hope that he will help us to get through so we can help somebody else. God does not save you for you to just to go to heaven by yourself. Help somebody else. Help somebody else come along this way. Be a witness to somebody else about this God. We have to have hope. Without hope, you cannot make it. And let me say this to my believers in prayer. Because you pray and ask God for something, don't put him on your time schedule. Don't put him on your time schedule. And just because he healed you from this in lickety-split time, it doesn't mean he's going to heal you from that in the same way. God has so many different ways of doing things. He doesn't have to do it the same way. But simply because he's God. Simply because he's God. He can do things the way he wants to do them. To help you and myself get to the place where he needs for you to be. Even when it looks as if there's no way out. There is a way out, but you just got to go through. You cannot get to the other side without going through. You got to go through. And I keep standing up here, y'all, because I'm through. But God wants you to know that if you trust him, you'll walk where you can't see. You will walk where you can't see. And well, I'm already there, so I might as well be obedient to at least to him, and I'll get out the rest of it later. You remember the other week when we had prayer up here for me. I still heard. Hurting right now. Had a bone scan the other day. They saw nothing. Had an MRI. They saw spots. And then after they saw spots, I had the bone scan, and they saw nothing. They don't see anything. But I yet hurt. I yet have pain. When I'm laying down, when I'm standing up, I still have pain. But I'm trusting in the Lord. And I say that not for sympathy, but I say that to you for you to know that God will. And I'm glad you asked. I heard you when you asked, I don't know, will, because I took medicine for diabetes for 13 years. Haven't had anything the last 2 years. And when the devil tried to tell me that God's not going to fix me, I remind him of what God done, excuse my grandma, done already done. I remind him that I was taking that stuff every day and now I don't take it. I remind him. And I remind him also that I don't take anything for cholesterol anymore. And he said I would, but I remind him that if God did that, he can do this. I got hope. I'm hoping and trusting in God that he'll do what he said. And if he doesn't, he's still God. He's still God. He fixes so I can still do what he needs for me to do. And somebody are hurting and you want to quit, I'm your witness today that you keep going because God can and God will provide. He'll fix it. And oh, by the way, I don't take anything for pain. Don't take aspirins. I take 81 milligram, a low-grade aspirin. That's all. Doctor told me I could take Tylenol. I said, I'm not going to take it. Because anything that comes my way, God can get me through it. But I'm not crazy. I'm not crazy. When it gets so I can, God's going to let me know. I'm trusting in God. I got hope. And I guess that's why I preach this message today, because hope is something that you cannot, a lot of the times you can't explain it. But sometimes you have to live it. God got a hope in every one of our lives. Yours may be different from mine, but you got something that you are hoping that God's going to do for you. And you're trusting in God. And if everybody knew it, they tell you don't do it. But God said. He always reminded the children of Israel, who brought you out of Egypt? Who brought you across the Red Sea? Who stopped Pharaoh? Nobody but God. When you trust in God, he will provide just what you need. I'm through, but this illustration keep coming up in my mind, and I didn't have one, but it keeps cropping up that God will provide just what you need. And y'all know I hate to use the same one twice, but it's in me in this one. The slave had a yoke that he put on his shoulder to go down to the river to get water in two containers. And every time he got the two containers filled with water, he turned around and walked back the same path. And when he got back to the trough to put the water in, and that's where y'all gonna have to help me, the one on his left side would always be half full. But he filled it up at the river, and he'd empty it. And you do know in illustrations, inanimate objects talk. The container on the left going back said, why am I always empty every time we get there? The owner just told him, said, I don't know. He filled him up, started back again, went back to the trough, emptied him in there. He was half, the one on the left was half full again. He emptied them in there. One on the left said, I'm getting tired of this. Said, why the master won't fix me so I can be full every time I come back? Said, I'm not doing what the master made me for. The slave took and carried him back to the thing. Filled it up again. Turned around and went back. I'm tired of this. I'm just tired of this. He emptied it out. When he emptied it out this time, the slave told the one on the left side, said, next time going down, back to the pond, said, just look down and see what you see. When he was walking back and looking down, he said, oh, there's some pretty flowers. Said, them some pretty flowers. So where'd they come from? He just kept walking. He filled them up. Turned around and going back. When he got back down there, the one on the right side was still full. And so he's, When he emptied this one out and turned around, he said, the flowers, no, I'm at the wrong end. He said, the flowers are on this side, or on the left side. So he filled them up, start walking back. And he saw that the owner had filled him up down there. But when he got down here, he was half full because he had watered the flowers. Some of us, when God fills us up and we get to death, we are still full. You don't need to be still full. You need to be half empty because you need to give out what God put in you. What God put in you is the hope that he has put in you that you are going to be something and that you are going to have an effect on somebody else away from yourself for what you think you've done, what you were made for. You have to have hope and do something for somebody else so they can receive the benefit of the glory of God. With that, we'll extend an invitation. If you don't know